There's only one place for knuckleheads in the news, the Harris Challenge, and absolutely no politics. It's Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hello, this is John speaking with his voice. We're all very happy to be able to talk to you like this on this little bit of plastic. This record reaches you at the end of a really gear year for us, and it's all due to you.
This is Paul here. We're all dead pleased by the way you've treated us, and we're trying to do everything we can to please you with the type of songs we write and record next year.
Ringo. Hello, Ringo here. Merry Happy New Year, and folks, Happy Christmas, and may everything you wish be granted.
I'm George Harrison, and we just hope you can go on pleasing you for a long time, because it's your reaction to our records that really matters. And I'd just like to say,
Merry Christmas, everybody!
And we're not reading this off a piece of paper that has been handed to us and put down for us to read to you. Yeah, that's one of the Beatles greetings that they send out on one of those little plastic records. I believe several thousand members of the Beatles fan club at Christmas time. I think they started doing it in 1964 and 65. And that comes from the collection of a guy by the name of Michael Cumella. Michael joins me on the phone now because he has a collection of these old plastic records that you and I used to get in cereal boxes. And it's appropriate that I'm talking to Michael on a day when the capital of cereal, Battle Creek, Michigan, has a nice sugar frosting of 18 inches of snow today. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hi, Paul. Thank you.
My pleasure having you on here. And also thanks to a listener by the name of Larry Lanham. He's the one who discovered your website, a virtual museum of plastic records and flexible records and all these things that we used to find in our cereal boxes, and he alerted me to it, and so then I got in touch with you and invited you on the show today.
Oh, great. Yeah, I figured there was a point when they were just sitting in my dark closet forever, and occasionally I'd have visitors to my home who were interested in seeing them, some that weren't so interested that I kind of forced to look at them. But I figured this would be a fun way to let people see them and find information about certain things, and just to be viewed where they should be.
Anybody who wants to see it, by the way, I have a link from my website, harrisonline.com, in the Heard on Harris section. You can get right to Michael's section. Now, right. I mentioned that most people probably know these from coming inside of cereal boxes. I recall a couple of times getting cereal boxes where the back of the box itself, the cardboard, was a record, where you had to cut that out and put it on your close-in player, your little 45 RPM single player.
That's one of my earliest experiences I can remember, Paul, eating my Sugar Crisp cereal and tearing the box apart in a sugar-fueled frenzy and getting it to play on my little 45 player and thinking, wow, how cool.
Yeah, and the torture was Mom and Dad not letting you do that to the box until you'd eaten the cereal inside. The good thing was it was all sugar-frosted cereal, so you were more than willing to eat a lot of extra cereal to make it go away.
Oh, yeah. Well, how about then you would try playing these records that wouldn't play so well on their Super Magnavox Hi-Fi.
Oh, yeah.
And over and over and over, it would drive them crazy.
Oh, my parents banned it from playing on what they... You're right. They then called it the Hi-Fi.
Sure.
Oh, no. You put that on that little record player we bought in your room. And, you know, even the best quality records, which in those days were the 45 RPM singles, they all still had that...
Yeah.
Kind of scratchy sound. These, can you imagine what cardboard must have sounded like? They were absolutely horrible.
They were more marketing tools, I think, and never really sounding that good. So
now speaking of marketing tools, Kevin, cue up cut number two on there so we can listen to this, because Michael has a bunch of these from his website that I've downloaded so that we can play for you. I want to get a story from you on each of these, but let me just play a little sample of the kind of stuff that used to come on, not just the cereal box backs, but also the plastic, vinyl, whatever insert it was, that would come inside the cereal box or in other products. Here's just a sample. Any idea what era we're talking there, Michael?
I seem to recall that being 1980-something.
Really? That recently?
Yeah, wait, here it is, 88.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, they were still manufacturing FlexiDisc records, as far as I know, up until a year or two ago, and I think you can still get them made out of the country, but the last manufacturer stopped doing them pretty recently.
I guess the reason they had to stop doing that is not enough people still have record players.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. And just now, like I said, it was kind of a marketing tool for a lot of companies to use in different ways. And what they do now, this company, is produce CD-ROMs because everyone will put this in their computer. And that's,
right.
That's the medium that people are using now.
Yeah. Now, I mentioned cereal boxes. Tell me other places you would have gotten a Flexi record in the mail.
Well, Paul, what I find fascinating about this hobby is that I'm always amazed to find out that they've been distributed in different ways, and I'll never see them all. I'm always seeing new stuff. Let's see. They would become inside record albums. They'd be inside magazines. You would get them out of the pages. They would come attached to products that you would actually buy at the supermarket, perhaps.
Yeah.
Topps Chewing Gum actually produced them with some great Motown artists with a stick of gum that you would buy at your candy store. Direct mailing from different companies to people's homes to entice them into stores or perhaps car showrooms. Given away at dealerships of appliances or cars, car dealerships to get you in there with a tank full of gas attached to clothing. There were greeting cards. There were postcards. Borden put little 78s in the top of cottage cheese lids right out of your grocer's freezer.
Wait a second. You mean your grocer's dairy case?
Right.
You mean the top of the cottage cheese? You would take the lid off, and under there was a little record?
It was actually, inserted in, you know, how the top of the cottage cheese had that indentation sort of.
Yes,
you would pull it out of that indentation area.
Oh.
And you could see one of those, actually, on my website.
Wow.
There's all sorts of company promotions. Some B-grade adult magazines would have them in there with very laughable recordings.
You know, you mentioned greeting cards a minute ago. I remember maybe about 20 years ago going into a Hallmark store, and they had cards before the days of that little digital chip that would be in there that beep, 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 beep,
yeah.
Which we all still can get today. There was one where the card was folded over, you know, closed the way it normally was, and when you opened it up, inside was this plastic record.
Yeah.
But what made it such a pain was it was folded, you know, it was manufactured, folded, and kept on the shelf. So when you gave it to somebody, they tried to put it on their turntable. It kind of made a tent.
Well,
it was impossible to play.
That was the whole challenge with a lot of these is actually getting them to play. There's all sorts of reasons why they don't play. And so it was kind of a weird combination of the idea of marketing and getting these records to play. And some of them, most people had automatic turntables. And a lot of these records are so small that the grooves go way in towards the spindle. And record players would just reject, and the arm would go up to the end, and you couldn't get them to play.
I remember that. All right, here I'm talking with Michael Camilla, who has the virtual museum of flexible records on the Internet, and you can get a link to it directly from my website, harrisonline.com, here at the Big 550 KTRS. Some of these pop groups put out their own Flexi records. Here's a sample of one.
Here they come again.
The Dave Clark Five.
Right.
Time to get a move on. We were young with all of our life.
This is the mid-60s, and I got to tell you, that actually doesn't sound like the horrible quality you'd expect.
Yeah. Some of them can sound decent.
Now, when you had these, in your collection, are they still on the square that they originally came in, or have you cut them out so that it's just a circle?
I mostly keep them square. They mostly kept that fact in mind that people, they would want to keep the message intact so that they would make it large enough to fit on your turntable that you didn't have to cut it. Some people would just cut them out anyway, but I try to find them uncut and keep them that way.
For anybody who thinks rock groups from the 60s were the only ones to do this, listen to this and see if you can figure out. This is a pretty recent one. Go ahead, Kevin.
Night Train. All right. This song is inspired by a bottle. It's alcohol-induced. Me and Izzy and Axel and Steve.
I know it sounds like it's Beavis and Butthead talking over records,
exactly.
But it's actually a Guns N' Roses promotional disc with Axl Rose and the boys talking about their record, right?
Yeah, talking about just getting drunk, and that's how they were inspired, by drinking Thunderbirds. that's rock and roll.
Yeah. And so the Flexi record that they sent out, did they send it out to the fans or to radio stations, or who did that go out to?
Well, Paul, you're hitting on a point which I am always struggling with. This is not a very well-documented area.
Uh-huh.
And I'll find things. Sometimes the only thing I can go on is the record itself. And part of what this website has helped me with is that people have contacted me who've been involved in the business or involved directly with certain recordings, and they'll give me information about them. Now, this one, I think it was actually released to as a promotional item to record companies, and I've heard also at concerts it was distributed.
That gives you an idea what Guns N' Roses was all about. They thought, well, let's see, how can we promote ourselves? Hey, how about if we put out a little Flexi record with us talking about how we got drunk on Thunderbird wine?
Well, these are all edited, but they talk about other silly subjects. But along those same lines, there's another record in there which was put out to promote a line of women's clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it had very little information on it, and I had no idea how it was distributed. But it was actually done by Miss America of 1963, Jackie Mayer. And one day I got an email from her saying, oh, I saw this record. I haven't seen it in so many years. I can't believe you have it. Oh, it's so great that you're sharing it. Thank you. And I wrote her back saying, please tell me more about the circumstances and how it was made. And she told me it was hanging on clothing that were sold under the name of Trim Girl Fashions with the very unmarketable name of Chubettes. Or slightly larger ladies.
Yes. But gee, I wonder why that didn't sell. Chubettes.
Chubettes. It's 1964. That's what they were thinking. It was okay to call it that. But
and the thinking apparently was, let's see, we have a terrible name. How about if we put a plastic record on there along with it?
Yeah, be inspired by Miss America. She went, and she says on there, I went from being a Chubette to being Miss America, and so can you too.
Oh, wow. All right, I got to take a quick break here and check the traffic and do some business, Michael, but can you hang on?
Sure.
Okay, when we come back, I want to ask him about this record it's a Barbie commercial that sounds like the Beach Boys did it. Also, wait till you hear Richard Burton singing about marriage and a bunch of other things, all off of these old plastic discs that used to get shoved into cereal boxes and lots of other places. And I'm also curious, for those of us who may have one of these in a basement somewhere, if there's any value to these. Because when we talk to John Marshall, the king of collectible records, he says that regular record collectors don't put any value on these. Maybe there's a collector's market specifically for these. We'll find out from Michael in just a moment. And if you want to go to his virtual museum on the web, there's a link to it on my website, harrisonline.com. First, KTRS Time Saver Traffic. Jan?
Who used to give out the little tiny mini ones? They were about 3 inches in diameter, and they were in bright colors, and you could put them on a standard turntable, and they would play something, just a few seconds of something. Do you remember those?
Let me ask you, Michael, do you remember those little mini records that would come out?
Can you tell me more about what was on them?
I don't remember. I just remember as a kid getting, they're only about 3 or 4 inches in diameter. They had the standard hole in the middle, not like the 45 hole, but just the standard LP, mount.
Were they plastic or vinyl?
They were hard. They were harder plastic. They weren't floppy.
Uh-huh.
So they might have been just a standard children's disc, like a golden record or something like that.
They could have been. I remember having those as a kid, though.
Yeah.
I might have some at home.